and then frowned. There was something familiar about her. He looked up, studying her black-scarred features properly for the first time.
"Asha,"
he whispered in disbelief. Suddenly he was being wrapped in a fierce embrace.
"We're..."
Asha was hugging him so tightly it was difficult to breathe.
"It's really you?"
Weir laughed, though it was a mostly stunned sound.
"It's really me, Ash."
Remembering where he was, he dazedly disentangled himself and glanced over at his father, who was looking on in amusement.
"Asha is from Caladel," he explained to Alosian. "She can be trusted, though, I'll swear to it. It's not a problem that she knows where I've been these past few years."
He turned back to Asha.
"Asha, this is going to come as a shock, but I need to tell you something."
There was silence for a moment as Alosian and Asha exchanged amused glances.
"I know where. Or is it Torin now?" said Asha, green eyes sparkling.
Weir gaped at her in silence for a few seconds.
"How?"
he asked.
"Your father told me."
Weir glanced at Alosian, who nodded his confirmation. Weir rubbed his forehead, trying to come to grips with the information.
"But why?"
"Because I trust her," said the Duke simply.
Weir shook his head in disbelief.
But you..."
He trailed off, dumbstruck. Asha laughed.
"As eloquent as I remember."
Weir smiled back, heart lighter than it had been since he'd first heard about the attack at Caladel.
"How is this possible? How did you get away, and how are you here?"
His grin slipped a little.
"And fates, Asha, why are you a shadow?"
"Slow down, Weir. Too many questions at once. It's a long story."
She paused. "Though one thing you should also know, I'm representative for Tol Athion now." Weir stared at her, certain she was joking. When she stared back, entirely serious, he just shook his head.
"I must be dreaming,"
he muttered, though the smile didn't leave his face. Asha suddenly bit her lip.
"Weir, is Davian with you?"
Weir's smile faded and he looked away.
"Ah, I'm so sorry, Ash."
His voice cracked.
We lost him."
Asha watched Weir for a few seconds, then shook her head.
"Did you see him die?"
Her tone was calm. Weir paused, thrown a little by her response.
"No, but he's gone, Ash. I want to believe he might have survived too, but
he's not dead, Weir."
There was certainty in Ash's voice. She stared at him for a long moment, then looked away.
"I know he's not dead."
Elosian coughed.
"You two have a lot to catch up on," he observed.
He gripped Weir by the shoulder.
"I have other matters that need seeing to right now, but you can stay for a while. Talk. Once people know you're back, your movements are going to be watched fairly closely. You may not get an opportunity like this for some time."
Weir nodded, rising and embracing his father.
"It's good to see you."
Elosian smiled at his son.
"You too."
"Elosian,"
Asha called out before he departed.
"Can I tell him?"
Elosian gave her a slight nod.
"That's fine."
He left. Once his father was gone, Weir turned back to Asha, a wide smile on his face. For the first time in a long time, his heart was light.
"Now," he said, still grinning, "tell me everything."
Chapter 42.
Caden shuffled his feet, unable to hide his discomfort. He glanced again around the spacious, well-lit room, its luxurious furnishings, just as intimidating as the other finery he'd seen on his way into the palace. Aelric reclined in a well-cushioned chair in the corner, looking relaxed. Taris was also seated, but in stark contrast to Aelric was visibly tense, leaning forward and staring absently at the thick carpet, his shoulders hunched. Caden understood his apprehension.
Their entrance to the palace had gone surprisingly smoothly once Aelric had vouched for them at the gate, but that had been the easy part. Now they needed Caroline herself, Caroline, who had so obviously mistrusted them in Thrindar, to believe them, to help them, rather than turn them over to administration. Even given Aelric and Ditzia's relationship with the princess, Caden still expected armed guards to burst through the door and arrest them at any moment. From the way Taerys looked, Caden suspected the older man felt the same way. The rattle of the doorknob turning made him flinch, and he straightened as Taerys and Aelric both rose. The other two men bowed as Caroline slipped into the room, alone. After a moment of relief, Caden quickly, awkwardly copied them. There was silence for a few seconds as the princess studied him and Taerys, and Caden flushed beneath her disapproving gaze. Even so, just as he had at Thrindar, he couldn't help but stare a little, too. It wasn't just that Caroline was attractive, though she undoubtedly was, and he was far from blind to the fact. But she had a presence, a way of commanding the attention of everyone in the room just by being in it, that Caden found more than a little mesmerizing. He dropped his eyes again before his staring became too obvious, and Caroline fortunately didn't seem to have noticed. She sat, gesturing for the others to do the same. "I cannot stay long, but I wish to make one thing clear before we begin," said the princess to them as they took their seats. "I am here because people I trust believe you can help fight the blind. That does not equate to me trusting you." She tapped her teeth with a manicured fingernail, watching them intently. "Now, my understanding is that Tolathian's council are refusing to help you, and that you would like me to use my influence to see if their minds can be changed. Is this correct?" Taerys blinked, looking a little taken aback at Caroline's straightforwardness.
"It is, Your Highness."
Caroline hesitated, glancing across at Aelric for a moment before continuing.
"I am willing to do this," she said, her tone heavy with reluctance. "My name would not be directly involved, but some of the houses have been trying to gain my favor for a while now. I can think of at least one that has a loose alliance with Athian, and would be willing to pressure the council to help you without asking too many questions about who you are."
"Of course, Your Highness," said Taerys quickly. "I can't tell you how..."
Caroline held up a hand, forestalling him.
"I haven't finished. There are conditions."
She looked Taerys in the eye.
"Fortunately, I have had your past explained to me. That and the fact that you warned us about the boundary before anyone had even heard of the blind is in your favor. I am satisfied that you are truly here to help."
Taerys's eyes betrayed a glimmer of surprise, but he nodded in mute acknowledgement. Caroline's gaze hardened as it switched to Caden, who shrunk a little beneath it.
"Your companion, on the other hand, remains a mystery. He has been accused of a terrible crime regardless of where it was committed, and there has been no evidence to suggest that he was not the perpetrator, not even from his own lips. I am taking an enormous risk letting a man like that into my city, regardless of who has vouched for him. As such, I will require something more from him."
Her tone was cold, and she still addressed her words to Taerys, as if even speaking to Caden was distasteful to her. Caden stared at the ground, swallowing. It was harsh treatment, but for all he knew, it could be justified.
"I am willing to do whatever you need of me, Your Highness," he said, keeping his tone meek.
If they could not convince the princess to help them, their chances of making any progress with the toll were slim. Caroline nodded, then walked over to her desk, picking something up out of one of the drawers. Caden paled as he recognized the black torque in her hand.
"You want me to wear a shackle," he said quietly. "Yes, and I will be the one to bind you," replied Caroline, looking him in the eye. "Other people have vouched for you, believe you could be the key to defeating the blind, and they may well be right. But ultimately, I am the one giving you refuge here. You are my responsibility while you are in Ilin Ilan."
She arched an eyebrow at him.
"So these are my terms.
You will wear the shackle, and under no circumstances will you leave the palace grounds without my express permission. Agreed?
Caden hesitated. He knew there was little choice in the matter, knew that they were beyond fortunate to have the princess's help at all, but the thought of putting a shackle on again made him cringe. And it would mean he had no way to slip out, no way to speak to Havrin Dass without the princess knowing he had left. Eventually, though, he took a deep breath and bared his left forearm, holding it out towards Caroline.
Agreed.
The princess examined him for a moment longer, and his breath caught as he locked gazes with her. Her expression became a hint more disapproving after a second, and Caden reddened as he realized he was staring again. He looked away awkwardly, only to blush further as he saw Aelric glaring at him from the side. He finally fixed his eyes firmly on the ground, flinching as Caroline touched the cold metal to his forearm. The black metal turned to liquid, slithering and molding itself to his skin. The world immediately seemed duller, more gray, as if some of the color had been leached out of it. Caden sighed, then smoothed down his sleeve again. Caroline paused, then gave a satisfied nod.
I can feel the link.
Then she turned back to Tayris, evidently done with Caden.
You may stay here too, if you wish. There are few enough administrators around, so it's as safe a place for you as any. You should both be able to pass as servants. I'll have someone organize quarters and some appropriate clothes. Use the servants' entrance if you want to come and go without attracting too much attention. Just don't wander too far into the main parts of the palace, and try to keep your excursions to the evenings, when there are fewer people about. If an administrator does happen to recognize you, there will be nothing more I can do to help you.
Understood. Thank you, Your Highness, said Tayris.
Caroline inclined her head and then glanced across at Aelric, who was still scowling at Caden.
Aelric, can you please show these two to the east wing, and have Basira make up some quarters there? Maybe use the rooms near the gardens that Zia and I sometimes use for study? They're near enough to the other servants to not arouse suspicion, but isolated enough that no one should really notice that they are being occupied.
Aelric finally tore his gaze from Caden, bowing to the princess. Of course, Your Highness. Caroline rose, and the three men stood in deference. The princess's eyes again met Caden's for an instant, and again his stomach fluttered. He looked to the side straight away this time, inwardly cursing himself. Reactions like that could only land him in trouble here. Oblivious to Caden's thoughts, Caroline gave them all a tight nod.
I'll set things in motion, she said to Tayris.
She slipped out the door. There was silence for a moment, and then Aelric gestured to the hallway. We should get moving. The quicker we get to the servants' wing, the less likely you are to be spotted, he said, eyes hardening a little when he looked at Caden. Caden flushed again, but nodded. He and Tayris exchanged relieved glances that things had gone so smoothly, and then they trailed after Aelric. Caden lay on his new bed, staring at the ceiling. He'd been trying to sleep for hours now, battling both the warm evening and his own frustrations in search of rest. A breeze sighed through the open window, providing momentary relief from the heat, and accompanied by the distant murmuring of the city below. It was well past midnight by his reckoning, but from the sounds of it, Elin Ilan was far from asleep too. Despite it being only his first night at the palace, this new situation was already beginning to chafe at him. It would take time for Caroline's political machinations to achieve anything at the toll, and Caden accepted that. But that didn't mean he should be sitting idle. He felt sure he could be doing something, anything, other than just lying around, hoping that either Tayris or the princess could eventually convince the council to help him. He stared out the window and pondered again how best to contact Havrin Dass, the merchant Alaris had talked about. He'd ventured outside his room earlier for some fresh air and taken careful note of the guards' routine patrols, even spotting a small supply gate he thought would be unattended at night. The only other brief excursion from his quarters had been to the library, where, much to his delight, he'd found more detailed maps of Elin Ilan than he'd had time to look over. Havrandas's store had been easy to locate. It was clearly marked, large, and in the upper city, quite close to the palace itself. An influential and successful man, then. Caden didn't know whether that made him feel better or more nervous, but for the moment, it barely mattered. All the information he'd gathered was useless if he couldn't find a way to slip his shackle. He sighed, staring resentfully at the black metal sitting snug around his arm, a constant reminder that Caroline could pinpoint his location at any time. For all the finery around him, he was effectively just a prisoner once more. He gave the shackle a gentle tap, wondering if there was any way to remove it. Nothing happened except for a slight metallic ring. He closed his eyes, concentrating, trying to will it to fall off. He wanted it gone, needed it gone, so he could find out who he really was. Still nothing. He grimaced, opening his eyes again and gazing morosely at the ceiling. Traveling here, he'd felt like he had a greater purpose. The blazing light of his tattoo and the sense of urgency Tayris had lent their journey had done little to dampen that. But he was isolated here in his room, the time already beginning to drag. And with the vessel now secured in Tol Athion, his tattoo gave off only a dull, flickering glow. It all combined to make him feel cast adrift, like his opportunity to get answers was starting to slip away. The need to take action settled in his stomach, almost painful. He was tired. He should just try to sleep. Everything would seem less upsetting come morning. But the knowledge remained that even if he felt better then, he would still be no closer to understanding who he was, what his purpose was in all of this. He gritted his teeth as the frustration built in his chest, intense and hard. The shackle retracted, dropping noiselessly from his arm and onto the quilt. Caden stared at it, stunned, for a few moments. It had come off. He'd done it, though he had no idea how. Then he felt a flash of panic. Caroline would know, wouldn't she? The princess was most probably asleep at this hour. Perhaps it would go unnoticed, at least for a time. He waited in the darkness, frozen to the spot for several minutes, listening for the sound of soldiers rushing to his door. No one came. Gradually, he relaxed, sitting up on the bed and staring at the shackle. He could try putting it back on, but he had no idea when, if ever, he'd be able to take it off again. And even if he was able to reactivate it, he doubted it would still be linked to Caroline. This might be his only opportunity to act before his newest custodian realized something was amiss. Heart pounding, he fumbled around in the darkness for his clothes. Once dressed, he slipped out into the corridor, nerves taut as he strained for any sign of discovery. The hallways were all but empty at this hour, and he made quick time, soon locating an exit to the palace grounds that he thought would be unguarded. Holding his breath, he cracked the door open, waiting for a shout to indicate he'd been mistaken. There was only silence, with the occasional snatch of city noise in the background. He slipped through and gently shut the door behind him. The thick shrubbery and moonless night made staying out of sight relatively easy, much to his relief. He secreted himself behind some bushes, keeping his breathing calm and steady, straining for the sound of the next patrol. Once he thought he heard a noise behind him, the crunch of leaves underfoot, perhaps, but when he spun, there was no one there, and he put it down to his imagination. Minutes passed, and finally the orange flame of a torch began bobbing towards him. He held his breath as two guards walked past his hiding spot, both looking alert but neither showing signs of having spotted anything unusual. Then they were past. Forcing his legs to move, he dashed forward, staying low and ready to dive into cover at the first sign of another patrol. He arrived at the supply gate to find that it was much as he'd hoped, secured from the inside with a solid latch but without needing a key. He opened it cautiously, then used a sliver of essence, so small it would surely be undetectable, to hold the latch up, leaving the gate accessible from outside. By his estimate, the essence wouldn't decay for at least a few hours. To a casual glance from any passing patrols, though, nothing would seem amiss. He slipped out into a side alley, unlit and without shops or buildings of any kind. He kept his pace steady as he walked towards the main street, trying not to run despite his instincts. If anyone saw him, he wanted to look as innocuous as possible. At the end of the alleyway, he stopped, mentally revisiting the route he needed to take as he peered cautiously around the corner. In the distance, he could see the four men standing guard in front of the palace's main gate, from their body language more bored than anything else. That was good. The last thing he needed was to be challenged by an overzealous sentry. He waited for a few moments until he thought none were looking in his direction, then exited the alley and began walking away, keeping to the shadows where possible. He didn't look back, and there were no shouts from behind him. Caden's racing heartbeat slowed a little once the palace was lost to view, though he remained tense as he hurried along. Despite the late hour, several buildings still had windows illuminated, and he overheard more than one heated conversation emanating from the grounds of Ilinalan's wealthiest residence. He couldn't make out the specifics of any of them, but the entire city just felt uneasy. He soon arrived at Havrandas's shopfront. He considered the building for a few minutes. The street was well lit, so there was little chance of him breaking in unnoticed. However, there did appear to be an upper floor to the shop. It was possible Das lived here as well as traded. Taking a deep breath, Caden walked up to the door and rapped on it as loudly as he dared. He stood in silence for what seemed like minutes. He was almost about to leave when the sound of a bolt being slid back echoed around the street and the door opened a crack. A bespectacled, middle-aged man peered out at him.
"What do you want, lad?" he asked sharply. "Do you know what hour it is?"
Caden gave a nervous cough.
"I'm looking for Havrandas."
The man stared at him for a moment, sizing him up. Evidently deciding Caden did not pose much of a threat, he opened the door a little wider.
"I am Havrandas," he said, suspicion thick in his tone. "Who in fates are you?"
"My name is Caden."
When the man still stared at him blankly, he added,
"Alaris said you would be expecting me."
Havran took an unconscious step back at the last part, his entire demeanor changing. He smiled, but for a moment Caden saw a combination of fascination and fear in the merchant's eyes.
Of course,
Havran said, opening the door wide and gesturing for Caden to enter.
"Please, come in."
Caden did as he was asked, and the other man shut the door behind him, sliding the bolt back into place. He held his candle high, providing enough light for Caden to navigate between the shelves of bottles. Finally, they came to the back of the shop, where Havran indicated he should take a seat at a long table. Caden did so, uncertainly, still not sure what to expect from this meeting.
"So," said Havran as he sat opposite, "Alaris told me a little about your situation, but even he didn't know much. He certainly didn't tell me you would be in this body. Perhaps if..."
It was the slightest flicker of the eye, from Caden's face to over his shoulder. If Caden's senses had not already been so heightened from nervousness, he might not have noticed it at all. As it was, he reacted on instinct, spinning to the side and to his feet. A blade cleaved the air where he had just been sitting, splintering the chair in two. Caden moved without thinking, elbowing his would-be attacker in the face. He heard the crunching sound of a nose breaking, but didn't pause, allowing his momentum to take him behind the armored man's back. In one smooth motion, he grabbed both sides of the assassin's helmetless head and twisted it as hard as he could, downward and to the side. The snap of the man's neck was deafening in the silence of the shop. Then Havran was scrambling backward away from Caden, who felt a sudden rage burning in his stomach. He'd been set up, betrayed. Had anything Alaris told him been real? He started towards the cowering merchant, picking him up by the shoulders with essence-enhanced arms and slamming him against the wall.
"Why?" he hissed.
Havran cringed away, refusing to meet Caden's gaze.
"Talcamar, wait! It's not what you think!"
he shrieked, plainly terrified. A woman's scream from outside cut through the quiet of the night. Caden hesitated for only a moment. Then he released the merchant and was moving, heading for the door.
He heard Havran dashing out of the room behind him, but another shriek came, this time clearly only just outside. He slammed back the bolt and burst out of the shop, freezing as he took in the scene before him. 50 or so feet down the road, a young woman was surrounded by 5 armored men, 4 of them watching as the other held her from behind, hand over her mouth. She was kicking, and clearly trying to bite her attacker's hand, but Caden could see her struggles were already weakening. For a moment, the man's hand slipped, and Caden got a good look at the woman's face. He paled as he recognized the fair skin, the delicate features. It was Caroline. She'd felt him take off the shackle and decided to follow him almost certainly, but there was no time to worry about that now. He gritted his teeth, then took off at a dead run towards the group. He was still 30 feet away when he was first noticed. The man who had seen him murmured a word of warning, and all 5 men were facing Caden in an instant. His heart skipped a beat as each one of them drew a sword, their black armor barely visible in the gloom. Though none of the men were wearing the distinctive helmets, Caden had no doubt who they were. He kept running. He was not going to leave Caroline to the blind. The man closest gave a wide, greedy smile when he realized Caden was unarmed. He stood calmly in an attack stance, perfectly still, as Caden rushed towards him. Just as Caden came within range, the man moved, cat-like, far quicker than should have been possible. His sword snaked out, streaking towards Caden's neck. Time slowed, and Caden let his instincts take over, just as he had against Aelric. He slid beneath the arc of the sword, coming in under the man's defenses. Then he twisted and kicked upward into the left knee of his opponent, intuitively knowing that his altered passage through time meant that the blow would be delivered many times faster, and therefore many times harder, in reality. He winced as he felt the man's ligaments snap, the knee bending sideways. A shout of surprised pain ripped from the soldier's throat as he crumpled to the ground. Caden regained his footing smoothly, snatching the man's sword from the air as it fell, and then spinning forward, slashing his attacker's throat in one fluid motion. 4. The smiles of the dead man's companions had vanished now. The one holding Caroline hit her hard on the head, sending her slumping to the ground. Caden watched her fall helplessly, hoping that the blow had not caused her any serious injury. The 4 remaining soldiers moved as one towards him, fanning out, surrounding him so that he was no longer able to see them all at once. He knew he was still slowing time. Caroline's fall appeared to take several seconds. But these men seemed less affected. A little sluggish compared to him, perhaps, but not as much as he would like. He couldn't allow them to settle, to get any advantage. He lunged forward, slipping gracefully between 2 whirring blades, one so close that he felt it brush a few strands of his hair. Caden brought his own blade around in a vicious arc, the edge slicing into the exposed neck of the man to his left. His opponent began to fall without a sound. Before the body could hit the ground, Caden snatched a dagger from its belt and spun, throwing it at one of the men who had moved behind him. It caught the unsuspecting soldier in the eye, blood fountaining through his fingers as he died, clutching his face. 3. 2. Their armor was well made, almost impenetrable to a normal weapon, he suspected. But these men had neglected to wear their helmets. Their laziness or overconfidence was going to kill them. The 2 remaining soldiers faced him grimly, spacing themselves so that he would have to concentrate on one or the other. He'd vaguely hoped that they would run, having seen what had become of their comrades. But the expressions on their faces were intent, focused, as if his success so far had only intrigued them. The one to his right fainted. When Caden flinched towards him, the one to his left came in hard and fast, stabbing with lethal accuracy. Caden was faster, though. He moved forward, towards the thrust, and slightly to the side, spinning so that the steel passed just by his ribs. He went down on one knee in the same motion, grabbing the man's leg with his free hand and lifting. Before his opponent hit the ground, Caden rolled towards the other soldier, anticipating the attack. Steel sparked as it hit the stone of the street where he had been a moment ago. Caden focused, then thrust upward at the second man, into the thin slit that allowed movement for the knee. He was rewarded with a scream of pain as his blade hit home. He slid the blade back out before it could get caught, then rose, severing the man's head from his shoulders as he tumbled forward. 1. The soldier he had tripped was back on his feet, panting but still with an oddly intent look in his eye. There was no fear that Caden could see. At first he thought that was strange, but then he considered what he must look like to his opponent. Calm, composed, focused. Exactly the same. Before he could think on it any further, the final soldier was upon him, raining down a fierce array of blows. Caden blocked them all, not easily, but not feeling that he was likely to lose now either. He allowed the soldier to exhaust his attack, then put several feet between them.
"Who are you?"
he asked, breathing heavily.
"Why are you here?"
The man stopped, blinking as if surprised by the question.
"We are here to stop you, Talcomar," he eventually replied, his voice emotionless.
The soldier threw himself forward, but it was a tired thrust, and Caden sidestepped it with ease. He acted on instinct, bringing his sword up so that his opponent's momentum carried him into it. The blade sliced across his face, biting deep, but not a killing blow. The man growled, blood spurting down his cheek, then turned to face him again. Caden stretched out his hand without thinking. A blinding torrent of power and light washed through him, exploding from his palm and slamming into the man's chest. It should have vaporized the soldier where he stood, but much to Caden's astonishment, he simply stood there, neither advancing nor retreating as his armor seemed to drink in the essence, extinguishing it. Caden stopped, cursing as he realized that every finder in the city would now be pointed at him. He had to end this, and quickly. He swiveled, flicking his sword underhand at the other man. The blade caught the soldier square through the mouth, blood fountaining everywhere as the man stared at Caden in horrified disbelief. He was dead before he hit the ground. Caden stood there for a few more moments in silence, breathing hard, surveying the scene. Bloodied bodies lay everywhere. In the distance, he could hear the whistle of the city watch. The fight had taken only a minute, perhaps less, but someone must have heard the clash of steel. There was doubtless a legion of administrators heading in his direction now, too. He had to move. He knelt by Caroline, emitting a sigh of relief when he saw she was breathing. He hoisted her onto his shoulder, mentally apologizing for the indignity, then hurried away as fast as he could, disappearing down a darkened side street, just as the urgent whistles of the watch sounded like they made it onto the scene. Havran Dass, who hadn't shown his face during the entire fight, would have to wait for another day. Caden suddenly discovered he was tired. Exhausted, in fact. The adrenaline was wearing off, and whatever he'd been doing to slow down time was no longer working. He had to think of what to do with Caroline. She knew, of course. She knew he'd slipped his shackle, left the grounds, breaking the only two conditions she'd set for her hospitality. If he took her back to the palace, she would have him thrown in a dungeon as soon as she awoke, at the least. Then he thought of what he'd done, how easily he'd killed those men. He shivered a little as the reality of it set in. It had been surreal at the time, almost like he was watching himself do those things. He hadn't taken pleasure in it, certainly, but it hadn't upset him as he knew it should have, either. He swallowed. Perhaps he belonged in a dungeon. He thought furiously as he half-walked, half-jogged along the deserted streets. Was there even an alternative? He couldn't prevent Caroline from returning to the palace. One thing of which he was certain was that he wasn't capable of kidnapping or killing her. He was relieved to discover that, though in his current situation it presented its own series of problems. In the end, he decided there was nothing for it but to return to the palace and accept the consequences. Even though she had been unconscious for most of the fight, Caroline would hopefully feel some sliver of gratitude towards him for saving her. The prospect seemed slim at this point, but he clung to it. He made it back to the supply gate without any issues, relieved to find that it was still unlatched, despite the princess presumably having used it after him. He shut it properly behind him, then hid in the bushes until the patrol passed by again, covering Caroline's mouth for fear she would wake up and give him away. Heart pounding so loud he was worried he wouldn't hear the guards coming, he made it back inside without incident. The trip to Caroline's quarters was trickier. He already knew where to go thanks to Aelric's thorough rundown of off-limits areas earlier that day. The problem was that there would be plenty of guards stationed along the hallways leading up to the royal chambers. Caden found a safe corner and let Caroline's limp body rest against the wall, flexing his tired shoulder. She was heavier than she looked. He stared at her for a moment. She looked strangely peaceful, her hair tousled but still shining in the dim light. Then he shook himself. If anyone found him with her like this, it was unlikely he'd even last until the princess awoke to explain matters. He needed to get her back to her chambers. He closed his eyes, taking a deep, steadying breath. She must have slipped away from her bedroom without being noticed. None of the guards would have let her wander off alone in the middle of the night. And, therefore, she must have had a plan to get back in. He carefully picked her up again, then found the nearest exit, moving around the outside of the palace until he was reasonably sure he was below Caroline's rooms. They were on the top floor, but Caden had remembered seeing a slender set of spiral stairs leading up to the balcony. Holding his breath, he started up them as quickly as he could, praying that the dim starlight was not enough for anyone to see the shadowy silhouette clambering upward. It was slow, exhausting progress with the princess over his shoulder, and he felt more exposed the higher he climbed. His skin crawled, and every moment he expected to hear cries of alarm. Finally, though, he gained the upper balcony, relieved beyond measure to see that one of the windows had been left ajar. He opened it a little wider and climbed awkwardly through, careful not to make any noise. There would doubtless be guards posted outside Caroline's quarters. Any suspicious sound and they would come rushing in. He carried Caroline over to her bed, laying her gently across it. He held his breath as she started to stir, but the princess simply rolled over into a more comfortable position, eyes still shut. Caden exhaled, then exited through the window again, closing it until the latch clicked neatly behind him. He paused for a moment on the balcony, awestruck by the view. This was the highest accessible point in all of Ilin-Ilan. Before him, the city was laid out like a living map, the outline of every building discernible in the starlight. Beyond the streets, he could see a ship slipping down the river, visible only thanks to its bobbing lights. Even with the details obscured by darkness, it was breathtaking. But he didn't dare tarry to enjoy the sight, especially here, where an errant glance from a guard would undo him. He turned for one last glance at the princess to ensure she was still sleeping. He froze. Caroline was sitting up in her bed, eyes open, staring through the window at him. There was a look of curiosity on her face, but no alarm. Caden didn't wait for her to cry out. He fled for the stairs at a dead run, getting to the bottom just ahead of a patrol. He made it back to his own quarters unseen, out of breath as he finally shut the door and collapsed onto his bed, heedless of the bloodstains that marred his clothing. He felt the cold metal of the shackle press against his back. Without hesitation, he reached around and grabbed it, and then placed it against his arm. Nothing happened.
"It won't work. You can't put it on yourself," came a deep voice.
Caden leapt to his feet again, relaxing only a fraction when he saw its owner. Tayris was standing in the doorway to the adjoining room. He had evidently been waiting for Caden's return. The older man was watching him closely, not fearfully exactly, but with an abundance of caution. Caden found himself coloring, and he let the shackle fall to the ground with a clatter. The full toll of the night finally crashed down on him, and he sank back onto the bed, holding his head in his hands.
"I'm sorry," he said. He truly was.
He'd betrayed Tayris's trust, hedged his bets so that he didn't have to choose a side. He realized now that it was time to make that choice. Tayris gave him the slightest of smiles, though his expression was still stern.
"You came back. That's a start."
He walked over to the bed, seating himself next to Caden and putting a hand on his shoulder.
"But it certainly seems we have much to talk about," he added quietly.
Chapter 43. Caden watched as Tayris leaned back, evidently trying to absorb everything he'd just been told.
Caden had spent the past half hour explaining the events of the evening and, to a lesser extent, what had precipitated them. About how Alaris had contacted him through the Dokken, had warned him against revealing information to the Gifted, had warned him to distrust them completely.
"Why didn't you tell me sooner?"
Tyrus's expression was more thoughtful than angry. Caden looked at the ground.
"Alaris said that if you found out who I truly was, you would kill me."
The scarred man nodded slowly.
"You were scared."
Caden's cheeks burned.
"I should have trusted you," he said, his voice catching. "I don't know why I didn't. You've shown me nothing but kindness and good faith since we met."
"Trusting someone is one thing, lad. Trusting them with your life is another entirely. I can't say that this has made things any easier for us here, but I understand."
Tyrus's tone was gentle, with only a hint of the frustration he surely must have been feeling.
"Thank you," said Caden softly.
He paused, then gave Tyrus a cautious glance.
"How long were you waiting?"
"I came as soon as I felt that essence blast. Not many of the Gifted around here could produce that,"
Tyrus observed dryly. He rubbed his forehead.
"The men you fought, you're certain they were blind?"
"I think so. They didn't have the helmets, but they were wearing black armor. They were a good deal faster than normal men, too."
"And yet you killed all five of them?"
Tyrus raised an eyebrow. Caden hesitated.
"I can do what they do, only better. And without the armor." "You think it's the armor giving them these powers?"
"I'm sure of it."
Caden had already had some time to think about this. "Slowing your passage through time like that is an augur ability. Those five men couldn't all have been augurs. Combine that with the way their armor absorbed essence." Tyrus gave a thoughtful nod.
"As I said, I felt the blast from here. This is bad, Caden, very bad. It means that even if the Gifted get a chance to fight, we're going to be less effective than we'd hoped."
"I know."
There was silence for a few seconds, then Tyrus began pacing.
"The question is, how did they get in? The city is supposed to be locked down. Everyone is being searched as they enter. Men transporting black armor would certainly have been stopped."
He paused, frowning.
"Unless, of course, they have been here for some time, waiting."
He glanced at Caden.
"When did you make contact with Alaris?"
Caden calculated.
"Just after Dylanis. A month ago, perhaps?"
Tyrus nodded to himself.
"A week before the invasion began. Those men could have been sent ahead to help Das kill you. They could have slipped into the city as recently as a couple of weeks ago."
He stared worriedly into space as another possibility occurred to him.
"Or they may have been sent ahead for a different purpose entirely, and Alaris simply took advantage of their presence here."
Caden swallowed.
"A different purpose?
Like what?" "Scouting, sabotage, fates only know."
Tyrus was silent for a few seconds as he considered it some more, then shook his head.
"Regardless, the blind are clearly afraid of you, Caden. Whatever is locked away in that memory of yours is evidently something they don't want uncovered."
He rubbed his chin.
"When you spoke to Alaris, did you tell him where you were going?"
"No."
Caden hesitated, grimacing as he recalled the conversation. "He knew I was traveling with Gifted, though. He probably could have guessed where I was headed. But he couldn't be certain, so maybe Das was the bait. He knew that if I really wanted answers, I'd have to come here. Sooner rather than later, too, once I had heard about the invasion."
"That sounds like it would be about right."
Tyrus bit his lip.
"Unless..."
"Unless what?" Tyrus sighed.
"I've been thinking a lot about the blind, Caden, and there's always been something that hasn't quite made sense. They've never acted like a conquering army,
trying to maintain control of the territory they've gained. And if they were sent by Arkhan Dvade, why just 1,000 men? We know there are at least Dargaethan out there as well, so why not send them too? Everything he has. He leaned forward. But think about the timing of all this. If you're such a threat to them, maybe when Alaris made contact with you and realized that you might get your memories back, it forced them to act early. The boundary is weak, but we know it hasn't collapsed yet. Not completely. Why not wait until that happens and send everything they have at once? He nodded to himself. I think there's a possibility this entire attack is about you, Caden. I think they may have lured you here and are coming for you before you can remember anything, while you're vulnerable. Caden felt a chill as he considered the possibility. So I'm responsible for even more deaths, he observed, his tone heavy. No, you can't think like that. This has to be a precursor to Dvade's real attack. The only reason he would send an advance party like this, giving us warning, time to prepare for whatever comes after, is if you are somehow a threat to him. Perhaps his only threat. Tayris shook his head. It's only a theory, but if I had to guess, I would say that he can't risk you remembering whatever it is you know. Caden shifted uncomfortably. Even if you're right, I'm not going to be able to remember anything from a cell, he pointed out. The princess knows I took off the shackle, saw me sneak out. It's only a matter of time before I'm locked up. He rubbed his forehead, glancing at the door, still half expecting guards to come crashing through it at any moment. We will have to see how Caroline reacts before we make any plans, Tayris admitted. If she wants to clap you in irons, then we will have to adapt. But I suspect she will at least hear you out, and from everything you've told me, there's a good chance she will be grateful. Caden gave Tayris a puzzled look. Grateful? Tayris smiled, looking amused. You did break her trust, Caden, but you also saved her life. You saved her and brought her back here when you could have escaped and left her to her death. You may think what you did was the logical choice, but some people aren't as naturally good-hearted as you. He shrugged. Growing up here, Caroline's probably seen more of the selfish side of human nature than you or I put together. I'm sure that on some level she'll appreciate the sacrifice you made. Caden frowned. He wanted to believe Tayris, but it had been his fault that Caroline was in danger in the first place. Besides, her disapproving glares from earlier that day were too fresh in his mind for Tayris' words to give him any comfort. And if she doesn't throw me in prison? He asked. And nothing changes. I keep pressing Tol Athian to use the memory device and hope that Caroline's contacts are helping our cause in the background. Caden sighed. So for now, I just wait? Yes. If you run, then Caroline will assume the worst, and this opportunity we've been given here will be for nothing. Tayris shook his head. And anyway, if things go badly with her, we do have a last resort. Caden raised an eyebrow. Which is? Tayris hesitated, then drew a small, smooth white stone from his pocket. I gave Nashril the other travel stone back at the toll. I'm hoping he stored it with the other vessels in Tol Athian. He stared at the stone grimly. It's not charged yet. I've only been able to use the smallest trickle of essence here in the palace. But it should be ready in a couple of days. It was my intention only to use it if the blind got too close to Elin Ilan, when there was no longer any chance of convincing the council to help. But if you get locked up, we can use it earlier. Break you out, if need be. Caden looked at the white stone with trepidation. Won't Tol Athian know we're there if we use it, though? Oh, yes, said Tayris with an emphatic nod. The elders will detect the portal as soon as we open it inside the toll. We'll only have minutes to both locate and use the vessel that can restore your memories, if that.
And if the other travel stone is somewhere else in the toll?
Then it will be a short trip.
Tayris slipped the stone back into his pocket with a sigh.
But there's no benefit to worrying about any of that right now. It may be an option we'll never have to use. The best thing you can do at the moment is try to sleep if you can. Whatever action Carradine is going to take, it seems likely at this point that she isn't going to take it until morning.
Caden inclined his head. Thank you for being so understanding about all of this.
And I truly am sorry for not telling you about Alaris sooner. I know I've caused a lot of trouble this evening. I'm just glad you know which side you're on now, said Tayris with a tight smile.
He gave Caden a slight nod and slipped out the door. Caden stared into space for a few minutes after he'd gone, lost in thought. Eventually, he gave a tired shake of his head and decided to follow Tayris' advice, lying down on the soft bed and closing his eyes, trying to ignore the knot of worry in his stomach. Still, it was a long time before he could sleep. Caden yawned. For a moment he lay in his comfortable bed, blissfully sleepy, aware that something had happened the previous night, but not quite remembering what. Then the memories returned, and he sat up straight, any semblance of tiredness gone. The world outside the open window was still dark, but Caden could detect a hint of gray in the black night sky. It was morning, albeit still before dawn. That was a good sign. He'd half expected to be woken sooner by guards with instructions to haul him off to the dungeons. It seemed the princess had decided against that course of action, or at least decided to hold off on it. He rose and dressed, enough time passing that he was almost beginning to relax when a sharp knock at the door made him freeze.
"Open up!"
came a stern voice from the other side. Caden glanced at the open window and for a brief, wild moment considered running. He wouldn't get within 100 feet of the wall before being stopped, though. He walked over to the door and opened it, trying to look calm. Outside, he was surprised to see Caroline herself, flanked by two burly and very displeased-looking guards. Her arms were crossed and a frown was plastered across her face. Even so, the sight of her made Caden's heart skip a beat. Then he took a deep breath, focusing. This was the princess, and she currently held his fate in her hands. He couldn't afford to let himself be put off balance, no matter how lovely she looked.
"Your Highness," he said formally, remembering to bow just in time. "How can I help you?"
"You can help me by having a conversation with me."
Caroline strode forward, grabbing his arm and steering him back inside.
"In private,"
she added with a glare, stopping her two bodyguards in their tracks. She shut the door in their faces. Caden waited for the princess to take a seat, then sat opposite her, his heart pounding and a heavy feeling in his stomach. This was it. He tried to tell from Caroline's face what his punishment would be, but her expression was inscrutable.
"You snuck out of the palace last night," Caroline observed, her tone flat. "You found a way to remove your shackle."
"I did, Your Highness," acknowledged Caden.
Caroline leaned forward.
"You broke the two conditions I had for allowing you to stay here. The only two conditions."
Caden swallowed.
"Yes, I..."
He sighed, not knowing where to begin, what to say. His shoulders slumped a little.
"I apologize, Your Highness. I made a mistake."
He put every ounce of sincerity he had into the statement. Caroline watched him for a long moment, eyes narrowed. She looked puzzled, as if she had been expecting an entirely different reaction.
"Were you trying to run?" she asked. "How did you get out of the shackle?"
Caden was silent for a few seconds, trying to think of how best to explain everything.
"I wasn't running. I planned to come back," he said. "I was told that there was a man in the city who knew something about my past. I went to visit him, but it was a trap."
He couldn't keep the bitterness from his tone.
Caroline studied him, looking skeptical.
And you couldn't have just asked for my permission to see him?
It was complicated, said Caden, the words stumbling from his tongue. He grimaced, knowing how evasive and vague the answer sounded. Caroline frowned a little, but still looked more perplexed than angry.
Then you should probably do your best to explain it, she said quietly.
Caden hesitated, but eventually sighed, nodding. He could see from the princess's expression that anything short of the whole truth would probably land him in the dungeons. He took a deep breath and told her everything he could about his meeting with Alaris. His throat was hoarse by the time he was done. Caroline watched him for a long few seconds, her expression unreadable. Then she rose, crossing to the basin and pouring a glass of water. She sat back down opposite Caden, offering him the drink silently. He gave her an appreciative nod, taking a long swig, using the moment to brace himself for whatever was about to come.
They were blind, weren't they?
Said Caroline, her voice soft. Caden blinked in surprise at her gentle tone, but nodded his confirmation.
I think so. And you killed them all?
Caroline watched him closely.
The administrators found the bodies last night. It's supposed to be a secret, but the entire palace has been talking of nothing else this morning.
Caden nodded again, a little awkwardly this time.
I had to, he admitted.
He didn't mention that he had left Havran Dass alive. If the man had information about who Caden really was, then Caden needed to find him before anyone else. Caroline bit her lip.
My uncle has ordered Drass Lothlar to examine their armor. Is that what made them so quick? When they caught me, it was like I was stuck in glue. Every time I tried to hit them, one of them would catch my wrist before I could swing.
She shivered.
And they were strong. Stronger than they should have been, I'm sure. That wasn't my imagination, was it?
Caden shook his head.
No,
he said quietly. Caroline looked at him in silence for a while. Gone were the hard, disapproving glares from their earlier meetings. Now she just seemed curious.
I saw you, she said eventually. I saw you move towards them. You were so fast and graceful, like...
She shook her head at the memory.
You were almost a blur, even compared to them.
She raised a questioning eyebrow at him. Caden shrugged.
It's the same as what happened with the shackle. I have these other abilities when I need them. I can't control them, though. That's one of the reasons Tayrus wants me to get my memory back, so I can understand those abilities, use them against the blind.
He hesitated.
He thinks I may be an augur.
Caroline nodded.
That sounds about right,
she murmured, almost to herself. She bit her lip.
So what do you want?
Caden stared at her blankly.
Want?
Caroline made an impatient gesture.
For saving me. We both know you didn't have to do it.
Caden frowned.
Of course I had to do it. Those men would have killed you.
Tayrus had said much the same thing, but he couldn't understand it. Leaving Caroline to the blind had never been an option, and the idea that anyone thought it had been was vaguely offensive.
It wasn't for some sort of reward.
There was a long silence as Caroline continued to stare at him like a puzzle in need of solving, until Caden began to grow uncomfortable. Finally, the princess leaned forward.
So you knew that being caught outside the palace could end in your being thrown in prison. You knew I'd followed you. Despite that, you fought off 5 men, then carried me back here, not just to the palace, but to my own rooms.
Her eyes narrowed.
And you want nothing for this.
Her face was impassive, not giving away even a hint of what she thought of that particular scenario. Caden hesitated.
Not being thrown in prison would be nice, he said cautiously.
There was another long silence, then Caroline gave an abrupt, disbelieving laugh.
You're serious?
She gave a rueful shake of her head, eyes shining for a moment as she looked at Caden. He smiled back, a little dazed.
So, you're not angry?
Caroline stared at him, a half-smile on her lips.
No.
She brushed a stray strand of blonde hair back behind her ear.
It seems I have misjudged you,
she added, sounding like she rarely made such admissions. She glanced towards the door.
Have you seen much of the palace?
Caden shook his head. The princess stood.
Then perhaps I should show you around.
Caden stood too, noting the still dark sky outside the window.
At this hour, Your Highness?
Caroline gave him an amused look.
I would like to continue this conversation, she said, still smiling, but I'm not sure that the two men outside your door would believe that was what was happening in here if we stayed much longer. They don't need to accompany us, but they will certainly be more comfortable if we're not locked away together.
Caden gave a nervous laugh, trying not to look flustered.
Then lead the way, Your Highness. I'd be honored.
Caroline snorted.
And no need for the formalities, Caden. You saved my life. In private, you can call me Kara.
Caden ducked his head, still a little bemused at the turn of events.
I will.
They walked to the door. Caroline opened it, and immediately she was cold and formal once again. To Caden's eyes, she grew 6 inches, somehow seeming to tower over the muscular bodyguards waiting outside.
You may leave us, she said in a peremptory tone. I am going to show Caden around the grounds. Your presence is no longer required.
The shorter of the men gave her a nervous look.
Highness, if I may suggest...
No,
Caroline cut him off with a slicing gesture.
No discussion. I know my father and uncle worry about me, but I'm old enough to make my own decisions.
The guard opened his mouth to protest, but one look from Caroline silenced him as effectively as a slap to the face. Caden tried to hide his amusement, but he still got a dirty stare from both men as they wandered off, their expressions sullen. Once the men were out of sight, Caroline relaxed again, and they began walking. Not aimlessly, exactly, but at a companionable stroll, chatting about small things as they went. Caden's nervousness soon faded away. The princess was easy to talk to, even charming, now that she had dropped her formal facade, and Caden found himself enjoying the conversation. At certain points, though, he had to remind himself of their respective positions. There was a warmth to Caroline's expression now when she looked at him, and she certainly showed no signs of wanting to be elsewhere, but she was still the princess. He knew that this newfound friendliness was nothing more than her expressing her gratitude. Even so, time passed faster than Caden would have credited, and it seemed only a few minutes later that they came to a balcony overlooking a wide-open courtyard, the now mid-morning sun bright in the sky. A squad of soldiers trained below, their swords flashing sporadically in the light. Caden and Caroline just watched for a while, the pleasant mood of the conversation lost as the reality of what was coming set in. The men below wore grim expressions. No one laughed or joked as they worked.
I wish I could understand why these men have been acting so carelessly, said Caroline softly.
Caden glanced at her.